Well, good evening. How's everybody? Well, two of you's good, and the rest of you, I reckon, just making it, huh? I see. I got you. Daniel chapter 4. How many of you ladies have this evening? 24. Keep working. Y'all get there. You know. Yeah. Absolutely. Great crowd back there. It sound like y'all had a great time. So, absolutely. Thank the Lord. They want me to do that. Couldn't handle that. Nope. All right. Old Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he was full of himself, as we say, you know. He just had so much that he is just bubbling over to share some of that with us. We're going to see that tonight as we think about this. But he doesn't have enough unk to realize that he's dealing with God and not man. Here, Nebuchadnezzar dreams a dream again. And having the experience of knowing what Daniel did, he gives all of his men an opportunity, and we'll see that. Then Daniel has to come to the rescue for him. But it says here in chapter 1, verse 1 of chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar, to the people, nations, and men of every tongue who live in all the world. Nebuchadnezzar is making this presentation himself. He's not waiting on a great orator. He's not waiting on some priest or someone to do. As I said a while ago, he's full of himself. He's just won a great battle a couple of years before this, that made him the Babylonian Empire that was the greatest of all times at that time. We know he'll fall to the Roman Empire later when the Assyrians and others comes in. But here in writing this, old Nebuchadnezzar said to the people, to the nations, and the men of every language who live in all the world, may you prosper greatly. It is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. He's thinking here. He's praising Daniel's God for what Daniel was able to interpret the dream for him. And he said that the wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs? How mighty his wonders? His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generations to generations. He's got a good understanding of who God is and what God is capable of doing, isn't he? But he hadn't accepted him as the one true God of his heart and his life. Listen to what he says. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Everything was going good, you know. But if you miss something in those first three verses up there, I'm going to tell you what you missed. You miss the fact that Nebuchadnezzar, in writing and this speech and making these comments and stuff in his heart and his life, had already dreamed the dream. And he was troubled by the dream. And so in order to get in Daniel's good graces, he done like a lot of good Baptists do. He tried to pretty it up. When's the only time God hears from so many people? When they got troubles, ain't it? when they got a problem, when they need something, want something. And this is where Nebuchadnezzar is. He knows that from the time that God delivered him in the last dream to this dream, that he hadn't been a good boy. He hadn't done the right thing in the right way, hadn't served the one true God. He'd gone back to his gods, and he'll go back to him here in this and this. And he said, I was at home, I was minding my own business, I was watching Jeopardy and the evening news, and I was contented and prosperous, and I had a dream. He done like me. When he got still in that chair for a little bit, he went to sleep. And he had a dream that made me afraid. As I was lying in my bed, the image and vision that passed through my mind terrified me. What does that say about the dream? It wasn't a little simple dream. This was a very serious dream for him. He said here, so I commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be brought before me to interpret the dream for me. Have you ever wondered why he just wasted time there? If they couldn't interpret the first dream, they ain't going to be able to interpret this dream, are they? So it's just time wasted. But he so much wants the wise men of Babylon, somebody in his group, to be able to interpret the dream. Verse 11:7 says that when the magicians, the enchanters, the astrologers, and diviners came, I told them the dream. It's different this time than last time. He couldn't even remember the dream last time, could he? Daniel had to tell him the dream and then interpret it for him. But this time, what's got him terrified and troubled is the fact that he remembers the dream, but nobody can interpret it for him. He said, I told them the dream, but they could not interpret it for me. Finally, Daniel came into my presence. Finally. When all else fails, he called who? Daniel. He made that sound like, you know, that Daniel just happened on the scene, didn't he? But he waited till when to get Daniel? When all else failed. See, he's still calling him Belteshazzar. And the name that he gave him, and Belteshazzar was given that name as the name after Nebuchadnezzar's gods. And the spirit of the holy God is in him. And so he is explaining, I think, to his people. Now, this is Larry Haver thinking, so I won't charge you for this. But I'm thinking here as he's saying this here that Daniel came into his presence. He told him the dream and was waiting for the interpretation. But his comments about Daniel was this. He is called Belteshazzar. Look, folks, I know he's Daniel. I know he's one of those Hebrew guys that come from going down to Jerusalem and tearing down the temple and bringing them over three times and all. He is along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that was in the fiery furnace last Sunday, and all those things. But he said he is called Belteshazzar. Don't worry about him. He's all right. We got him converted over to one of us. And he's called Belteshazzar after the names of, what did he say there? My gods. He didn't say Daniel's gods, did he? He said my gods. And the spirit of the holy gods is in him. He's named after my gods, but the spirit of the holy God. Now, what did Nebuchadnezzar just admit right there? He defeated before he ever starts, didn't he? Why? Because Daniel's got the spirit of the one true God, the holy God. Our Lord is in him. I said in verse 9, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, called him a magician. He's not a magician, is he? He's just a Hebrew guy that's serving the Lord of God. I know that the Spirit of the Holy Gods is in you. He admits to Daniel. And no mystery is too difficult for you. Now here's my dream. I want you to interpret it for me. These are the visions that I saw while I was lying in my bed. I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the middle of the land. Its height was enormous. You know, last week that statue was 9 feet high. And now I'm assuming that probably this tree was probably about the same height, 3 feet wide, 9 feet high, something like that. It was a giant of a tree. He said, I looked, and there before me stood a tree in the midst of the land. Its height was enormous. The tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. It could be seen from any direction. That was a huge tree, wasn't it? Its leaves were beautiful. Its fruit abundant. And on it was food enough for all. Under it, the beasts of the fields found shelter. The birds of the air lived in its branches. From it, every creature was fed. This tree represented the people of God. And all those that were in need of care were sustained by what he saw in this tree. Verse 13 says, in the vision I saw while lying in my bed, I looked, and there before me was a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven. God sent him a messenger. And as we think about this, what's taking place here, you know, that would have been scary enough for me, my heart and my life, to know that God had sent a messenger to tell me something. He called in a loud voice and said, cut down the tree and trim off its branches. Strip off its leaves. Scatter its fruit. Let the animals flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But let the stump and its roots, bound with iron and bronze, remain in the ground, in the grass of the field. This tree, as big and as productive as it was, that had cared, had the capacity to care for all the people of the Babylonian Empire there, is now ordered to be cut down. God's about to strip the land, and they're going to see some hard times and some tough things. But he said, let all the animals flee, all the birds fly away, but let the stump and its roots stay put. Let them remain in the ground, out there in the grass of the field, because from the stump what can come forth? Tender branch stump can sprout again, and that tree can grow again. And he's saying this empire, Nebuchadnezzar's getting to be an old man. And he's been serving as their king for somewhere around 35 to 38 years up to this time. He's going to go to 42 years, so his life is... expectancy is getting shallower and shallower as he goes along. And he keeps seeing these things, and God keeps trying to convert him and get him to understand in his heart and his life what he needs to do to have true salvation in his heart, is to to believe in the Lord and what he's doing, but he's all consumed with who? Himself. All about him. And he said, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. And let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal, till seven times pass by for him. He's put on his all fours. He's a man, okay? But he's put on his all fours, naked, and eating grass like that of a cow, living out in the elements, summer and winter, for seven full years. Here's the king, one that was bragging just a little bit before this about what a great job he'd done and how he was content and at peace with himself, satisfied with the way things go. He thought he had the tiger by the tail. But he didn't know what this messenger was going to tell him, did he? And the messenger simply said to him, let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, the moisture. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man. Let him be given the mind of an animal till seven times or 7 years pass by for him. Can you imagine anything more humiliating for him than to be out there in this condition, living like that, eating the grass of the fields, sleeping out there in the elements, naked, you know, on all fours, for seven long years. He had some time to think anyway, didn't he? The decision, he said, let him be, the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. Who do you think those messengers were? God's angels. He sent to tell him what is to be concerned in his life. He says here, the Holy One declares the verdict. Who's going to declare the verdict for you and I? Who's the one who's going to say, well done, or depart from me? The Lord is, isn't he? Same one that's rendering this verdict here. And he said he is pronouncing this verdict on you so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. He took plain, ordinary old country boy like me and you and uses them for his glory, do his will in our hearts and our lives. You think back on the great men of God. Where'd they come from? What'd they do? Just plain, ordinary men that God touched their hearts and their lives, called them out, and sent them out to spread the gospel. All right, that's the dream. Look at verse 18. He said, this is a dream that I, King Nebuchadnezzar, had. Now, Belteshazzar, tell me what it means. For none of the wise men in my kingdom can interpret it for me, but you can, because the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Spirit of the Holy God. Do you see that S on the end of that? There's only what in our world? One true God. That's right. So he's still lumping him out there with all the rest of the various gods that they're dealing with here. And he tells him, said, all right, Belteshazzar, Tell me what it means. For none of the wise men can interpret it for me, but you can, because the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Then Daniel also called Belteshazzar. See, he refuses to refer to himself as Belteshazzar. He puts it as Daniel. Then Daniel was greatly perplexed for a time, and his thoughts terrified him. He had to have a little time to ponder, think about what old Nebuchadnezzar had described to him as being the dream. That tree reaching up, all the fruitfulness of it, all the bounty that was on it, and then seeing it stripped away and all the things. But I think the part that bothered Daniel more than anything else was the part where he was going to be placed on his all four. Nebuchadnezzar. Going to live like an animal, sleep out in the elements naked, and on the interpretation went for him. And what's happening here in his life? So he's perplexed for a time. He thought about it, and his thoughts terrified him. So the king said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its meanings alarm you. Belteshazzar answered, my lord, if only the dream applied to your enemies and its meaning to your adversary, the tree you saw, which grew large and strong, with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth. He is telling him, old Nebuchadnezzar knows that he's stunned by the dream. He says, don't let it bother you. Just tell me the meaning and why it alarms you. And he said, well, Belteshazzar, just tell it like it is. You know, when bad news comes our way, I don't like somebody to beat around her. Just tell me what's wrong. What's happening? And that's what he's antsy. He wants to know. But Daniel is fearful for what he might do to him. And so the tree you saw, which grew strong and large, with its top reaching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit and providing food for all, and giving shelter to the beasts of the fields and having nesting places in its branches for the birds of the air, you, O king, are that tree. One of these days we're going to have a place that's going to meet our every need, aren't we? We're not going to have to worry about if the light bill's paid this month. We don't have to worry about the things that bug us so much sometimes in our hearts and our lives. He said, you're that king. You're that tree. You have become great. And you have become strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. And your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. He is now the Babylonian Empire. When they defeated, a couple of years prior to this, the Egyptians, and took over and brought the Egyptian Empire into their network of all the other places that they had consumed. And old Nebuchadnezzar he's a big dog on the block. You become strong, you become great, your greatness has grown, and your dominion extends to the distant parts of the earth. Then he begins to explain to him. Verse 23, you, O king, saw a messenger. I don't know if it's an angel or what, but he saw this messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying. Most of the time when God brought a message through his angel, it was through the angel who? Michael. But here's what he told him. Cut down the tree and destroy it. But leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze. In the grass of the field, while its roots remain in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until the seven times pass by for him. Seven times are seven full years. You know, for us, time's moving pretty fast now. But think about it. You out there in the elements, naked, on all fours, eating grass like an animal, cow or donkey or camel or anything else, you know, like that. You're the king. You're reduced to this. What's all your people think about that? What do you think the Assyrians or the Egyptians or any of those other armies that had been defeated by Nebuchadnezzar thinks when they hear a word, hey, you know what, old Nebuchadnezzar? He's out there on his all fours, naked, out there eating grass like a wild animal. He is a sad situation. And this goes on for seven full years, you know? Every day, I think, probably had to be an agony. But listen, during that 7 years, why do you think the scripture tells us that he was on all fours like a beast of the field? When he's on all fours, he's looking what? And he needed to have been looking where? Up, doesn't he? We'll see that in a little bit in his heart and his life concerning this, what he would have him to do. Verse 24 said, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree. The Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by you for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Who's in control, folks? We may think we are. You know, a lot of us think Trump is. But who's really in control? God is, isn't he? The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that who rules? Heaven rules. He told King Nebuchadnezzar, look, whenever you are willing to admit that heaven rules, you'll be restored to your place. Now think with me for a minute. He's somewhere between 35 and 38 years of age here, and he is coming to of kingship, not age, but he's been serving his king 35 to 38 years. His reign as king goes to 42 years and about a half of a year, 42 and a half. My memory serves me well. And so he's got about 4.5 years. And the best to listen to what God's saying to him. And he tells him here that if he'll just admit, he'll be restored. Then he tells him in verse 27, therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Listen to me. I'm going to tell you, king, what you need to do. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. Those people you've been mistreating, those slaves that you've been working coming out of Egypt and all these other places, he said it may be then that your prosperity will continue. If you just repent, you'll ask the Lord to forgive you, and you will renounce all this that you've been doing to oppress the weak. He said, it just may be that then your prosperity will continue. Verse 28 said, all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later. Now, if you don't believe God's a gracious God, a merciful God, how long did he give Nebuchadnezzar to repent? 12 months, a whole year that he waited on him, gave him opportunity. He said, 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? In that year's time, he forgot what? The dream, forgot the interpretation of the dream, and he forgot that God don't forgive, does he? He don't forget. And his heart and his life. Here he is. And the scripture says that he was just out admiring his empire, walking on the roof of the house and looking as far as the eye could see. And he began to brag on himself. He said, is not this the great Babylon I built as the royal residence? He got something coming about a royal residence, hadn't he? By my mighty power, he's taking all the credit, isn't he? And for the glory of my majesty. Everything was about who? Him, but in his heart and his life. And 31 says the words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. I tell you all the time, what's the most dangerous place in all the world to be? Outside the will of God. God has withdrawn. He gave him a whole year. He didn't take advantage of it. And now he said your royal authority will be taken away from you. You will be driven away from people. You'll live with the wild animals. You'll eat the grass like cattle. 7 years will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and give them to anyone he wishes. Who controls my life or your life? Who's in command of it? God is, isn't he? Old Nebuchadnezzar didn't understand that. And for 7 years, he's going to live like this until he comes to a point in a place where he acknowledges who God is. Verse 33 says, immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people, and he ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of the heavens until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails were like the claws of a bird. He didn't get a pedicure every week, did he? He didn't get the lavishness of a king. He's out there living like a varmint. Out there, his heart and his life. His only covering is the hair that began to grow, become like feathers over his body. Nails like the claws of a bird that he could use. Care for himself. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. Remember, he's making this speech here. He's telling us what he'd been through. He said, I raised my eyes toward heaven. After 7 years, he was allowed to lift his head. He didn't look to the palace. He didn't look to anyone else. He lifted his head. The scripture says, I raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Woo, that's a merciful God, isn't it? But it took 7 years, really 8, for him to come to his senses, because God gave him a year before he pronounced the judgment upon him. So 8 years, he said he raised his eyes and he restored. God restored his sanity. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. If he didn't get the message after all that, he was never going to get it, was he? He said, I praise the Most High. Here's what he said about him. But don't never fool yourself. He ain't fully repented yet. He said, his dominion is an eternal dominion. How long is eternity? Forever and ever. He comes to realize, hey, my dominion's only 42 and a half years. And he's going to be dead and a new king will come in and take his place. But this God is an eternal God. And his kingdom's going to last from generation to generation. Folks, who are you and I? We're in one of those generations there. All the peoples, plural, of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the people of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? Never once did he acknowledge there, you know, I was wrong. I had an opportunity, but I blowed it. And it cost me 7 embarrassing, humiliating years. This God, I'm telling you, he's an eternal God. He's a God from one generation to the next generation to the next generation. Verse 36 said, at the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne, and I became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He brought him down to size, didn't he? God showed him who was in control. And he just thought he was a powerful man. But he had 7 years to do what? Think about it. How many times you think in that 7 years he probably rehearsed, I wished I'd have listened to old Daniel. He tried to tell me that perhaps if you'll just, God maybe, but Nebuchadnezzar did what? Ignored him and ignored him and ignored him. And then he gave him the final ultimatum. Gave him a year to do something about it, and he did what? Absolutely nothing. Until he was disgraced before all the nations that he had overthrown, all the armies he had defeated, all the people he represented in his own kingdom and stuff, his own empire, you know. But when God restored him, And he admitted what happened. God gave it all back to him, you know. Gave it all back to him. But we'll see in the days ahead what he does with it in our hearts and our lives. Any question about this? Anything you want to share? Any thoughts you got? I like y'all. You're a quiet bunch. Very much. Isn't it awesome how God works? What he does and how he reveals himself to so many different ways in our hearts and our lives. But what about us? You know, he may not reduce us to eating grass of the field, being on our all fours naked out there in the elements and stuff. But he gives us opportunities to change our ways and to deal with. If he hadn't been merciful and gracious to me, I know where I'd probably be today. I'd probably be in a funeral home. I'm out in a cemetery somewhere or another, or a jailhouse one. And so many people we see today are ruining their lives, you know, and things. Read a little bit about Charlie Kirk and how his dad was supposed to be the sheriff, you know, and when he saw his son, he went and got him and turned him in, you know. Talking about, you know, his dad being a pastor and his youth pastor trying to talk to him. All the things that, you know. But this young man was a rebellious child that was determined that he's going to change the world to the direction he wanted to go. He ruined the life of Charlie's family. He ruined the life of his own family. He ruined his own life, you know. What did he accomplish? Nothing. Nothing. But it woke up a nation of folks. It woke up, and I'm believing, not knowing as much about Charlie as probably most of you do, but I believe this. He was willing to be the sacrifice. It'd make a difference in where this country is going today. He'd say, "Well done, Dad. I appreciate it. My heart and my life." Any thought?
It wasn't just here. There's movements all across the globe right now.
Yeah, I know it. That movement is, I hadn't read it, but they say his wife's speech, her comments were awesome. And things, she's going to lead that army and moving in the direction God wants it to go. Father, thank you for the time we have to turn. Lord, you've been so patient with us. You give us so many opportunities and chances till we finally come to our senses. You returned us to our sanity to do the right thing. Lord, I know there's deeds in our hearts and our lives that may be displeasing to you. Help us, Father, to realize that you are the one true God. And whatever you say, thy will be done. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.